Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. Again, we're in chapter 25, the book of 1 Samuel, fifth chapter. And we have a couple of letters to read, plus we're in the ninth of the series, the flesh, the dealing with the ourselves, the flesh. And so the Lord has definitely allowed the Babylonian, the spiritual Babylonian Empire, to take over the United States of America. We have been completely taken over. Today, IBM has sold itself to Red China. The gas prices are going up to $2.10 a gallon now, and it's going up even higher. And why? Because it's just the Lord punishing the people of the United States for denying Him, thumbing their nose at the Almighty God, His Word, His name, the people of the Lord. As I've mentioned in a piece of literature probably 17 years ago, I stated at that time that there are over 200 or 300 years of reserve gasoline, oil, petroleum products that we have here in the United States, and all the government would have to do, if it was really the United States government, is to tap into those, just release a lot of those that fuel, because this country or world is not going to be around in 300 years, and I don't know. It's just that the madness of the government, they don't know that. They're blind. They're living in darkness, and they don't even believe that. But they, never before has the United States ever been on the attack to every nation and try to rule the world. This is all conjured and done under the auspices of Rome, the Satan who runs Rome and the Pope and the whole Vatican, or the world church, the world satanic cult, and the media. And it's just amazing that the people of the United States and the rest of the world haven't wised up yet to what's happening to them. But a lot of people say, well, what should we do? Well, what did Daniel and all the other different prophets do when they were taken over by Babylon because of their sins? We have to comply. We can't do the things, we can't be involved with any of their abortions or murders or adultery or fornication or anything like that. We have to stay steady in the Lord during a time like this, and we must not walk after the flesh but after the Spirit, so that the Lord can lead us, guide us, and direct us, because we're living in modern day what is not Babylon the same as Iraq, but it is the spiritual Babylon, the mother of harlots, the Roman satanic cult that the Lord stated would be here on earth just before Jesus comes back to earth again. And there's going to be a lot of persecution, and they're already telling people, you know, that your bank accounts are being pilfered, and your credit cards are being used by people that shouldn't be using them. Even your bank accounts are being, can be access, people can have access to them now that you don't even know. And so the proper thing for you to do is to take the mark of the beast on your forehead or on your right hand, and that way no one will be able to access that, because that is your permanent credit card. Everybody will know who you are. Everybody will know how much is in the bank that you've got in the bank. And no one can deceive anybody anymore, and there's no way that they can get money out of your account unless they use your right hand or your forehead. And so Daniel was very gracious to the, I mean, he was polite to the king, but he wouldn't do what the king told them to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not do anything that the empire told them to do in the Babylonian Empire. And so people really, if you've never prayed before, you better pray now that you will not be walking after your flesh any longer. You need to deal with your flesh. You need to walk in the Spirit. So we're going to pray right now that God will anoint these letters, chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, and the ninth in a series on dealing with the flesh. Father, pour out your Spirit on this tape. Anoint everyone that hears it. Let their ears open up wide. Give people the knowledge by reading your word as to what it is that you want them to do, because your knowledge, the knowledge of your word tells us what we're supposed to do. And your Holy Spirit living in us, the Comforter, is our teacher that teaches us what to do moment by moment, hour by hour, all throughout the day. Now, there were kings of Assyria that dispatched the people of Israel and Judah to different nations and put them different places and brought in foreigners. And that was the way that the evil one took over that country, is bringing in foreigners. And that's why this country is wide open to foreigners today. Many of them are very unscrupulous. Not any of the people that were prosecuted at the Nuremberg trials are in jail anymore. They served no more than 5 years. And they're out, and they're advising the different kings and presidents of the United States today. And it's a very wicked, wicked, the most wicked regime of all time. This country has become today it's the same thing as World War II Germany. We are bombing people that we ought not to be bombing. And we need to pray that God will put a stop to it. We can't go along with this program. And Lord, we pray that in the scriptures you will give us guidance, and I know you do because I've read your word, and the reproof of your word is the way of life. Lord, we're not, the devil is not playing around, and you're not playing around either, Lord. If people want to go along with Satan, they're going to be in trouble with you. And I'd rather be in trouble with a billion Satans than to be in trouble with you, because you've defeated Satan. Jesus, Father, you've defeated him. And if there were billions of others like him, you defeated them all. And there's billions of Satans walking around the face of this earth right now. And Lord, you defeated them all. And if the Spirit, your Spirit, lives in them, then they also will, by your Spirit in them, defeat that wicked one, that old serpent, the devil. And people have to be mindful of what they're doing and what they're saying today. They have to be extremely mindful of the hour that they're living in. Because this can't go on much longer, you said. You said if you allowed time to go on any longer, that no flesh would be able to endure it. There's going to be some horrible things happening. The Bible states that Satan would actually wreck the earth also before you totally destroy it. And so we're living in the most perilous times ever, because people love their own selves rather than you, than your word, than your purpose, than your word, your people, or your messages to them. So, Lord, we pray that they get saved, and if not, Lord, you promised that you'd pour coals of fire on their head. Lord, we ask that you do it. And that you will teach us everything that we need to know this day, and bring us closer and closer to the fullness of the stature of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's hear those two letters you have there.
first one's from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Lafayette, Louisiana. This is where all the French people are. That's even a French name, Lafayette. Okay, let's go ahead with it.
Dear brother, thank you so much for your package of literature I received yesterday. I am sending you a blessing. Your literature is so much a blessing. It's the pure truth and the undefiled word of God. This kind of word is hardly being preached today. May God bless you for being so faithful. Love in Christ, P.B. from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah, and I've just redone the earthquake track. I think it's a lot better now. Before, it centered primarily on the earthquake in Los Angeles after I was there at the time. That's been completely taken out. Now I'm talking about all the plagues on the face of the earth and spotlighting the one that the media calls the big one is coming. But the secular media calls it the big one, but the Christians calls it the great world quake, quote unquote, where the Lord shakes terribly the world. The Lord's going to move the earth right off of its axis. That's what the word that we're looking for is the big one that the media says, but it's the great world quake. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Okay, then what? He's going to grab the earth like the neck of a dog and shake it terribly until all the hair comes out of it and the fleas are shaken out of it. Okay, then what else? And all the devils are shaken out of it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The next one's from Osawinso, Ghana. It says, Dear Pastor
Obama, I never even knew there was such a place as Osawinso. Is that it? Osawinso? Well, praise the Lord. There's a saint there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's hear from him.
Greetings from your new friend, and once again, greetings from our Lord Jesus Christ be unto you. Amen. Please, I am a boy of 20 years of age, and I have completed the senior secondary school last year. To start with, by reading your literature, The Messiah, including a lot of quotations, I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And in addition, I have known that the only way to enter the kingdom of God or Christ is by obeying the commandment and by following the steps of Christ, who died on the cross because of my sins. Furthermore, I don't have any Bible which will help me to know more about Christ, and prefer if you can send me only one copy of a Holy Bible, including some of your literature books, so that I will know more about our Lord Jesus Christ, and to let others who have not yet accepted Christ to accept him as their personal Savior. In this regard, I want to be an evangelist for the rest of my life, to look and search for the lost souls to serve God with all of their hearts and their bodies. So please, I need your prayers and your help, that you'll encourage me to do the work of God for myself and to help the nation of Ghana. So please, and a very big please, try as much as your possible best to send me my request. Finally, may peace and glory be unto you, your lovely son, and the family. Goodbye, yours faithfully, F.O. from Osawinso, Ghana.
Well, the son is a big boy now, and they keep seeing that picture of him when he's little. And my boy doesn't like me showing that picture anymore. So I've abstained from it, but we still have pieces of literature with his picture on it. And a lot of people are kind of shocked when they see him the way he is, because he's a pretty big strapping boy. Works out with the weights. He plays guitar, and my other boy plays piano. And for the Lord, praise the Lord. And so I just want everybody to get the record straight on kids do grow up, amen? I see them growing up before me, hundreds of children right before my very eyes. I don't see them for a few months or a year, and all of a sudden the other children in the church, you know, and I look at them and I can't even recognize them anymore. All right, let's go. Verse 1. Chapter 25 of 1 Samuel.
The death of Samuel. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together, and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Verse 2. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Translation, verse 1 through 3, the death of Samuel. Now Samuel died, and all Israel gathered for his funeral. They buried him near his home in Ramah. Nabal makes David angry. Then David moved down to the wilderness of Maon, M-A-O-N. Verse 2, there was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the village of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it was sheep shearing time. Verse 3. This man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. But Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was mean and dishonest in all his dealings. King James Version, verse 4. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. Verse 5. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. Verse 6. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. Verse 7. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Verse 8, ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. Verse 9, and when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. Verse 10, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Verse 11, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?
Yeah, that's what the Lord tells us today, that whenever anybody asks for bread, give it to them, even if they're your enemies. Amen?
Amen.
It's something to drink, because you just do it automatically. I mean, God, you want God to bless you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and, okay, keep going.
Verse 12, so David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. Verse 13, and David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Translation, verse 4 through 14. When David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, verse 5, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel. He told them to deliver this message. Verse 6, quote, peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own! Exclamation mark. Verse 7, I'm told that you are shearing your sheep and goats. While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Verse 8. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you this is true. So would you please be kind to us, since we have come at a time of celebration? Please give us any provisions you might have on hand. Unquote. Verse 9. David's young men gave this message to Nabal and waited for his reply. Verse 10. Quote, who is this fellow David? Nabal answered, who does this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. Verse 11, should I take my bread and water and the meat I've slaughtered for my shearers and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? unquote. Verse 12, so David's messengers returned and told him what Nabal had said. Verse 13, quote, get your swords, exclamation mark, unquote, was David's reply as he strapped on his own. 400 men started off with David, and 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. Verse 14.
And their private possessions and things, the stuff. All right, what else?
Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, quote, David sent men from the wilderness to talk to our master, and he insulted him. King James Version, verse 15. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. Verse 16. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Verse 17. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master, and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Verse 18. Then Abigail made haste, and took 200 loaves, and 2 bottles of wine, and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. Verse 19. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Verse 20. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Verse 21. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. Verse 22. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. Verse 23.
I use the word urinate. And then what?
And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground. Verse 24. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Translation, verse 15 through 24. But David's men were very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. Verse 16. In fact, day and night they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. Verse 17. You better think fast, for there's going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him. Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 18. Abigail lost no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 raisin cakes, and 200 fig cakes. She packed them on donkeys and said to her servants, verse 19, quote, go on ahead, I will follow you shortly, unquote. But she didn't tell her husband what she was doing. Verse 20. As she was riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. Verse 21. David had just been saying, quote, a lot of good it did to help this fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen. But he has repaid me evil for good. Verse 22. My God, deal with me severely, if even one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning. Exclamation mark, unquote. Abigail intercedes for her husband Nabal. Verse 22. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off of her donkey and bowed low before him. Verse 24. She fell at his feet and said, quote, I accept all blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have to say. King James Version, verse 25. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. Verse 27. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. Verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Verse 29.
Are you fighting the battle of the Lord?
If you are, you know, nothing evil will happen unto you. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. That's the whole thing right there. Then what?
Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Verse 30. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. Verse 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Verse 32. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. Verse 33. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Verse 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. Translation, verse 25 through 34. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just as his name suggests. But I never even saw the messengers you sent. Verse 26, quote, Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies be as cursed as Nabal is. Verse 27, And here is a present I've brought to you and your young men. Verse 28, Please forgive me if I have offended in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles. And you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Verse 29, quote, Even when you are chased by those who seek your life, you are safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch! But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling! Verse 30. When the Lord has done all he promised and has made you leader of Israel. Verse 31. Don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then you won't have to carry on your conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me! Unquote. Verse 32.
He does. He winds up marrying her after Nabal's death. Amen?
Amen.
He remembers her. Then what?
David replied to Abigail, quote, Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to me today! Verse 33. Thank God for your good sense! Bless you for keeping me from murdering the man in carrying out vengeance with my own hand. Verse 34. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would be alive tomorrow morning. Unquote. King James Version, verse 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. Verse 37. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Verse 38. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Verse 40. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. Verse 41. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord. Verse 42. And Abigail hasted and arose, and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David, and became his wife. Verse 43. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. Verse 44. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Translation, verse 35 through 44. Then David accepted her gifts and told her, quote, Return home in peace. We will not kill your husband. Unquote. Verse 36. When Abigail arrived home, she found that Nabal had thrown a big party and was celebrating like a king. He was very drunk, so she didn't tell him anything about her meeting with David until the next morning. Verse 37. The next morning, when he was sober, she told him what had happened. As a result, he had a stroke and he lay on his bed paralyzed. Verse 38. About 10 days later, the Lord struck him and he died. David marries Abigail. Verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, quote, Praise the Lord who has paid back Nabal and kept me from doing it myself. Nabal has received the punishment for his sin. Unquote. Then David wasted no time in sending messengers to Abigail to ask her to become his wife. Verse 40. When the messengers arrived at Carmel, he told Abigail, quote, David has sent us to ask you if you will marry him. Unquote. Verse 41. She bowed low to the ground and responded, quote, Yes, I am even willing to become a slave to David's servants! Exclamation mark. Unquote. Verse 42. Quickly getting ready, she took along 5 of her servant girls as attendants, mounted her donkey, and went with David's messengers. And so she became his wife.
So, you know, in the Hebrew, it actually, God made a helpmate. That's someone to slave for him. Tell that to women's lib, though. So this one was not only going to be David's slave, but she would be the slave to his servants. All right. Then what?
Verse 43. David also married Ahinoam from Jezreel, making both of them his wives. Verse 44. Saul, meanwhile, had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to a man from Galim, named Phalti from Laish.
All right, that was the 44 verses in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now we've got some commentary.
25 verse 1. Samuel dies, and this ends an entire era of time. He was the last of the judges and saw Israel through the transition to the monarchy. David also lost a good friend and faithful ally. The wilderness of Paran, P-A-R-A-N, is the northern part of the Sinai Desert, which extends into the mountains of Judah. 25 verse 2. Carmel here is not the famed Mount Carmel, but the present-day Kurmul, K-U-R-M-U-L, in the mountains of Judah, about a mile northwest of Maon. 25 verse 3. Nabal means, quote, fool, unquote, perhaps a nickname given him because of his lack of judgment. 25 verse 4 through 9.
Because his unbelief in God. Amen?
Amen.
Also, that's primary. A fool is one that doesn't believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
It says there is no God, so they don't have to keep the commandments. The Lord says to give to the hungry and the food and drink and what and clothing if they're naked. Okay, then what?
25 verse 4 through 9.
How much more the King of Israel, amen?
Amen.
The future King of Israel, one that's already been anointed to be king. Okay, what else?
David and his men had associated with these shepherds when they were in the desert. He had provided them protection and other services in exchange for food. 25 verse 10. Nabal slanders David as though he were a slave running away from his master. 25 verse 14. Young men, one of Nabal's servants. 25 verse 15. It is likely that these provisions were taken from the food already prepared for the feast. 25 verse 21 through 31. This is one of several instances in Scripture where strong and extremely capable women are used by God in crucial situations. Abigail certainly shows herself worthy to be a queen, standing in stark contrast to Nabal, quote, the fool, unquote. 25 verse 37, quote, his heart died within him, unquote. He suffered either a stroke or a heart attack and died 10 days later. 25 verse 40, proposals were often accomplished in the East through servants. 25 verse 36 through 38, Nabal means, quote, fool, unquote. Here Nabal demonstrated how appropriate his name was. His self-centeredness kept him from fulfilling an act of common courtesy that was expected in ancient times in Israel.
Well, according to the law of God. All right, then what else?
David and his men had protected Nabal and his herds from foreign cattle rustlers, robbers, so they expected that he would at least give them some food, some supplies. But Nabal lived to satisfy his own appetite with little regard for others, even though someone helped him. His selfish bravado nearly resulted in the deaths of many innocent employees of his. Only the intervention of his wife Abigail prevented the disaster. Most of us have a little of Nabal in us. We are somewhat foolish at times. Our dependencies drive us to make decisions that are not wise, and they're very destructive to us and to everyone around us.
That's people that are, you know, very, they're not completely matured in the Lord at all. Then what?
A very important part of growing in maturity in the Lord in faith is taking inventory of foolishness in our lives. Nabal's end should encourage us to do so. Whenever people put us at risk or cause us pain, we may feel as if there's nothing we can do. We may be used to the role of victim, but there are ways to maintain our dignity and sanity, even in the most oppressive circumstances. Abigail is a very good example of someone who didn't give in to helplessness, but had the wisdom to know what she could and couldn't do. In other words, she knew what she could and couldn't change. Her husband Nabal, again Nabal means fool, was a, quote, mean and dishonest man in all his dealings, unquote, 1 Samuel 25:3. Quote, before David became king, Nabal insulted his troops to the point that David and his men were on their way to kill him and anyone who got in their way. Through some fast thinking and even faster talking, Abigail protected her family. She convinced David not to take vengeance into his own hands. A few weeks later, Nabal died anyway, a natural, or more than likely supernatural, process, and Abigail became David's wife. We cannot always change other people. It takes wisdom and courage to accept this truth. But even when we can't change them, we can still change the situation to protect ourselves from the effects of their behavior. Acceptance of another's addiction or personality does not mean that we have to accept being the victim of that person's wrongs or sins. We can give up on our crusade to change the other person, other than through the Word of God, without giving up our right to be treated with dignity.
Okay, even though we are not dignified, the Spirit of the Lord is. Amen?
Amen.
All right, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we've had, reading through the Bible, we read 1 Samuel 25, the 25th chapter with its 44 verses, and tomorrow evening we'll be doing, God willing, chapter 26 of 1 Samuel, and this is Tony Alamo, pastor, and I want to be your pastor, if I'm not already, saying praise the Lord and good evening. Lord bless you.